Deuteronomy chapter 16, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. Passover was a memorial celebration. As you probably know, it recalled God's great deliverance of Israel's firstborn from death while they were down in Egypt. Verse 2, you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. The first Passover meal was eaten family by family in their own homes. Well, once they get into the land, that's going to change. It was to be a community celebration at one central location, that is, the holy sanctuary. Verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with you in all your coast 7 days, neither shall there be of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day at evening remain all night until the morning. So the Passover, that was one day, was followed immediately by the 7 day feast of unleavened bread. And only unleavened bread could be eaten during those 7 days. It was called the bread of affliction. It was a reminder of the continual affliction the Israelites suffered until God finally rescued them from slavery down in Egypt. When I said finally, I'm speaking from their perspective, because God's plan was on schedule. Verse 5, you may not sacrifice the Passover inside any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. Again, the first Passover, as I said, was celebrated family by family. But once in the land, all of Israel was to celebrate it together. And that pictures the fact that Israel was to be one big family with God at the head. 7. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. And you shall turn in the morning and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work therein. After the communal Passover meal, Israel was supposed to return to their tents. That is, they returned to the temporary structures they lived in while at the Feast of Jerusalem, because they had to come from all over the nation to celebrate that religious festival. Today they would, bring their tents and their campers and whatever the case, motorhomes. Verse 9, 7 weeks shall you number to you. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as you begin to put the sickle to the corn. They began to harvest the grain in March or April in that time. And beginning at that point, they would count off 7 weeks, and that would mark the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Pentecost. Verse 10. And you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand. which you shall give to the Lord your God, according to the Lord your God has blessed you. Verse 11. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite that is inside your gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord your God has chosen to place his name there. And in verse 12, let's read that right away. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe and do these statutes. And so the Feast of Weeks, or again, the Feast of Pentecost, as it is known, celebrated God's care for his people, his rich provision for his people. And the Israelites were to bring a voluntary offering. There was no set amount. It was to be in proportion to God's blessings on them. And that's a principle by which we should give today. 1 Corinthians 16:2. God gave to Israel. So now at this feast, Israel's generosity toward God and each other was to be showcased. Verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that you have gathered in your corn and your wine. So after the fall harvest came the Feast of Tabernacles. And it got its name from the fact that the Israelites built little booths out of branches and lived in them for 7 days. 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are inside your gates. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore, you shall surely rejoice. God wanted the people to have a good time during this Feast of Tabernacles. It was to be a time to get happy over the fact that God delivered them from Egypt. It was a memorial of that, and it was a time to rejoice. And not only in that, but the fact that God took care of them for 40 years in the desert. They were to be happy and rejoice before their God who has proven himself to be so good for so long. 16. 3 times a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Not empty. Every man, verse 17, shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So, just because all the men had to attend these feasts didn't mean that their families couldn't go. The men had to go. But actually, the ideal situation was for every Israelite to be there, celebrating the living God who had done so much for them. 18. Judges and officers shall you make in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, throughout your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. The judges were to base their verdicts, their decisions, on the word of God, plain and simple, not on precedents, but on the word of God, on objective truth. And these cases were to be handled at the local level. Each town had their judges and officers, which would be clerks. 19. You shall not twist judgment. You shall not neglect, I should say, you not shall not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So any verdict which did not conform to Holy Scripture was unjust. It was a perversion of justice. The judges had to be men of integrity. The judges were not to allow any conflict of interest to influence their decisions. Personal feelings for someone was never to enter the picture. Just look at the facts and make your decision based on Scripture. Verse 20, that which is altogether just shall you follow, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God gives you. Justice had to be followed. It had to be pursued. You follow something, you follow someone, you're pursuing them. Justice doesn't always want to walk side by side with a sinful human being, you know? Justice has to be trained. Justice has to be kept on a leash. It has to be pursued, or it'll get away. 21. You shall not plant a grove of any trees near to the altar of the Lord your God, which you shall make you. Neither shall you set up any image which the Lord your God hates. And one of the most important duties of a judge was to keep the worship of the Lord pure. That was his responsibility. God didn't want Israel to try to syncretize or harmonize in any way what cannot be harmonized, namely the worship of God and the worship of pagan idols. Any altars, any pillars, anything else that could possibly lead to the mixing of Judaism with the heathen religions was to be completely destroyed. Don't even go there. That was the law.